We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Ed got the sad news, obviously, today of Carlton Hasselrig passing away suddenly this morning at age 54. I'm wondering if you have any remembrances, the outstanding ones of covering him.
Yeah, Joe. I remember when he was drafted in the 12th round, and Byron Cope did his radio show from over there and at the Steelers at Three River Stadium, and he was down at the end of a hallway, and he would have guests on, and Cope was saying, "They gotta draft this Hasselrig guy," and they did with their last pick. It was 12 rounds that year, and he had Joe Green, who was a defensive line coach then, and Hasselrig was starting out with the Steelers as a defensive lineman, and then they switched him to guard. One of Chuck Noll's good moves there, and Joe Green came down. I don't know where he got it. He came down with a small cake. I don't know why, but he had a small cake with him and shoved it right in Cope's face while he was on the air because they were tired of hearing him crowing that he was the one who enticed them to draft Hasselrig. But, you know, I did a long story on Hasselrig after he left the Steelers. You know, he went to the Jets for a while, and he was really having some troubles. He was the son of an alcoholic and a druggie. I mean, his parents had problems. And then he was having some problems, too. And I remember Tom Donahoe telling me, he says, if he doesn't get on the right road, he's gonna wind up dead. And I wrote this long story. I finally found Hasselrig. He was unloading trucks in the strip district. And when I got him in this little hut, that these guys waited outside in the cold before they were waiting for the trucks. And I started talking to him. He started talking about his kids, and he was tears were flowing. And I won the best story in the state that year for the Associated Press. That's what I remember. But, yeah, I liked Carlton. I really did. He did have his troubles, but I liked Carlton. You know, he tried that MMA a few years back. I did another story on him. He was doing that fighting in MMA.
He had quite a career here, didn't he? I mean, from a wrestling at a small school, and he could wrestle anybody. He was a great champion. To convert to football, like, I thought was a pretty remarkable story, Ed.
He played football in high school, Ron, and then he went to UPJ, and they didn't have football. And his high school team didn't have wrestling, but he won. They put him, he was the only wrestler they had, I guess. And he won the state title. But when he was in college back then, if you won the Division II, which is what UPJ was, national title, they allowed you to compete in the Division I national title as well. He won 6 national heavyweight wrestling, NCAA wrestling championships, 3 in Division II. And then he advanced to Division I and won 3 in Division I. The only person to ever do that, it'll never happen again because they don't allow that anymore.
Ed, it seemed that Hasselrig found some semblance of peace in his later years and kind of conquered those demons. I was reading in the Johnstown paper just a little while ago. Is that the impression that you got as well?
Yeah, and like I said, the last time I talked to him, I'm trying to remember when it was. It may have been toward 10 years ago. I talked to him about fighting in MMA, you know, and he was early 40s, I believe, at the time, right around 40, 41 maybe. And we had a nice talk, you know, and I tried to find out whatever happened. You know, he just seemed to fight after that. I couldn't find any information on him. I didn't try real hard. But, yeah, if he would have stuck with it, you know, if he wouldn't have gone off, his career diverted because of, you know, other reasons, he would have been a great guard. He made the Pro Bowl as a guard once, you know. He was, at the time, like, people were saying he was the best guard in Steelers history.
Ed, have you changed your mind about football season starting? It looks like they're making a little bit of progress. Still many hurdles to overcome. Have you changed your opinion at all?
No, Ron, I haven't. I still think there's too many roadblocks. But, you know, we'll see. I'm not, you know, I've never said that. Definite. I just didn't think, I didn't see how they could do it. I still doubt that they're going to be able to do it. Football's a different animal than these other sports. And, you know, I just, we'll see. You know, I just don't know how, you know, the Steelers traveling to, they're supposed to play Jacksonville. They're supposed to play at Dallas. You know, there's some hot spots around that they have to go to as well. And I just don't know how it's going to work.
Do you believe training camp will start on time next week?
It looks like they're headed that way, Joe. You know, there's a lot of, and I've talked to other people, you know, who also have their doubts that they can pull this off. But there's a lot of stuff they have to overcome before they, you know, before they even start. But you know, once they start, and then, you know, it's going to be down to 80, it sounds like. Down to 80 guys, and where are they staying? You know, where are they going? What are they doing? I don't know. And these daily tests, this part of the country is not bad, but, you know, if a football team is in Texas, in California, in Arizona, are having daily tests and getting the results, and then you see these big lines of cars waiting for hours, people waiting up to 11, 13 hours to get tests done. It doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't, Ed, but I think you know as well, if you have money and there's big money involved, I mean, that's the way the world works, and I don't like it either, but I certainly understand it. I just wonder, you know, they said, I guess, 59 players have tested positive, and they expect a whole lot more once they get to camp, but they expect that, and they feel like they can deal with it. I'm just not sure they can, and I'm not sure how many players are going to back out, Ed.
Well, we'll see how they deal with it when it's something like, pointing it out because Bruce Arians is in his 60s, well into his 60s, has had cancer, has had some other problems. You know, the 28-year-old wide receiver may not be much at risk, but some of those coaches and trainers, a lot of these trainers aren't in their 20s either. John Norwig, for example, I think if he's not 60, he's close to it with the Steelers. And people like that, scouts, although I don't know you're going to see too many scouts around. I was talking to somebody the other day, I don't think the Steelers scouts are going to be around like they normally would at training camp.
Ed Bouchette on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline, our Steelers insider. So, Ed, assuming training camp does open, is there a battle in particular that you'll be highlighting, that you'll be looking at?
Yeah, I guess for what we can look at. The openings are left guard and right tackle. That's not very exciting, Joe, as you know. I'd like to see, you know, what Chase Claypool can do. It's our first chance, anybody's first chance to see these guys. It's limited number of people who are allowed to watch. You know, there's going to be four writers allowed in the first early going to practices. On defense, you'd like to see what Devin Bush is, how he's coming along. Some of these rookies, obviously, the outside linebackers they drafted, or outside linebacker they drafted, how he's doing. Anthony McFarland, the rookie running back. It's stuff we haven't been able to see at all. And again, it's going to be, I don't know how much we're going to see anyway, because like I said, there's only going to be four of us allowed in there.
Ed, you mentioned the 28-year-old wide receiver. How about the 32, 33-year-old wide receiver? I don't think we've seen the last of Antonio by any stretch of the imagination, do you?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the NFL, Ron. If they don't wrap up or come out with some kind of punishment, I mean, I think it's getting ridiculous now. They need to come out with something. And somebody said, well, he's not on a team. Well, you know, so what? You know, announce that he's going to get a X game suspension or no suspension, whatever you're going to do, and let the chips fall there. It almost looks like the Kaepernick thing, where in a different way, where they're punishing him without punishing him. You know what I mean?
Well, Ed, now I'm intrigued by the only four media people let into, what, the first day of camp. Is this going to be a rotating thing? Are you involved with the opening four here? Where do Ron and I fit in? What are the qualifications? How do they choose this?
Yeah, Joe, I wouldn't think you fit in there much. I think it's mostly going to be beat people right now. Like for us, I think Mark Caboli's going to go. And I fully allow him to do that. I'm not going to fight him for that, because you're not allowed to write really a whole lot what's going on there. There's going to be pool reports. Those four writers that go in are going to either combine, or one's going to have to write a pool report. And basically that's all the information that's going to come out of those practices. And then all the interviews are going to be done by Zoom. So if you're one of those four guys, you're not going to be able to interview anybody person to person. You got to do what everybody, all the other accredited media who follow the Steelers are doing, sitting in their homes. You're going to go on Zoom and interview them. And they pick the ones that are going to be interviewed. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to dial up, you know, Cam Hayward today and interview him. No, if he's not on the list, you're not getting him.
Ed, who'd have ever thought it had come to this, huh? This may be how you and I go out. Starkey's a lot younger than us, but this may be how you and I go out. Who would have ever thought?
Well, Ron, I mean, there's a lot of who would ever thought during this whole thing, you know, up and
right
down the line. You know, this is like there's a movie out, Contagion, that was filmed, I think, in 2011, that is this precisely. Brad Pitt is a star in it, and I watched it a couple weeks ago, and it was like they just filmed it based on this. But it's like a horror film.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you, guys. Maybe we should interview by Zoom.
Maybe we should. Ron is an expert at Zoom. We can all see. He
doesn't
can set
do
it
much
up
for radio, though, does it?
No, not really. We can have a conference call.
Yeah.
Ron, you want to say goodbye to Ed?
See you, Ed.
All right, fellas. Good to be with you again.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.